You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Jim Duquette joining us here on the podcast this week. And Jim, first of all, happy holidays and thanks a lot for joining us.
Happy holidays, Jim. How are you?
Very good. All right, let's get right into things with the Orioles because we have some news this week. They've gone out. They've gotten an outfielder. We knew at some point they would need at least one outfielder, and they go to Korea, and they bring in Hyun-Soo Kim, 28-year-old. He gets a 2-year contract agreed upon. He's yet to take the physical with the Orioles, but it's a situation where we saw the success a year ago of Jung Ho Kang with the Pittsburgh Pirates. How much optimism does that give to major league teams when they're looking at players from Korea now that they've seen a player like Gong thrive in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think that's the big key, really, with what Gong did is you know, that without that kind of first guy to come over, you don't know what to expect, and you're a little bit reluctant. And even the Pirates, I think, when you look at it from a financial standpoint, it's pretty significant, but in the overall scheme, when you look at what they got back in return, it wasn't an awful lot of money that they ended up expending. So I think from the Orioles used that as their framework, and luckily for them, they did not have to have it. There was no posting fee as well, which I think adds a little bit to, you know, the value that they're going to get in this signing.
He's a different player than Gong, although he did hit, I think, 28 home runs a year ago in Korea. That's not really part of his game. Like, Gong had hit 50 and been MVP. It sounds like Kim is more of an on-base guy and more of an average-type hitter. How does that translate to Major League Baseball as opposed to Gong, who came in with all the noteworthy power statistics?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Kim, I think the main thing, as you mentioned, he's a contact guy. He's also got a pretty good idea of the strike zone. Left-handed bat, and he's a corner out. They're most likely going to be a left fielder from the sound of it. And I think that, you know, that aspect of it, the ability to make contact and put the ball in play, is something that was attractive to the Orioles overall. You know, and I think when you look at what Gong did, Gong certainly had the high on-base percentage, had the high slugging, and then when you saw his first year, that on-base percentage came down a little bit, slugging stayed, but he became a little bit of a free swinger in that first season. So I think there's some upside there for Gong to improve. I think you can expect something similar in the Orioles situation with him because of the fact that, you know, they're still getting used to major league pitching, and you'll see some decline offensively. How much still remains to be seen.
You mentioned the contract, and when you're talking about 2 years, just $7 million total, the Orioles are a team that still has needs. They still have a desire to bring back Chris Davis if possible, plus they need starting pitching. So they're able to get that outfielder, and most of the free agent outfielders are going to get a lot more money than that. So that was key in this, right, for the Orioles to get a guy for 2 years for that low cost, even if it is a bit of a gamble?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you look at, there's some creativity there. It's what you have to do when you're in these markets. I think that's why you saw the Pirates do what they did. The Orioles have been aggressive overseas. You look at what they did with Wang and Chen back a couple years ago. That signing was one of the, you know, not a lot of people knew about Chen when he was pitching. You know, he came from Taiwan but went to Japan, and he comes over and ended up pitching very well for the Orioles. And so I think their hope is to go back to the well a little bit, even though it's in Korea, and go this route and see, you know, what ends up happening. I think you look at the other free agent outfielders on the marketplace, been very expensive here, guys with major league service time. So, you know, this one they're obviously hoping out. They got a 2-year deal, and I think the shorter deal obviously is something that they were, or the player was looking for, because if he produces, he can get out on the free agent market here and make a little bit more money.
All right, let's move on to Chris Davis, and he's been kind of the big story throughout the offseason for the Baltimore Orioles. During the winter meetings, we heard the reports of 7 years, $150 million, the offer from the Orioles. Then we heard that maybe it was up to $154 million. Now we're hearing that it's now off the table, and the Orioles are looking in other directions. Now, obviously, I think until they bring in and make that other move, they're still very much up for bringing back Chris Davis. So how much of this decision to pull the contract back off the table, how much is that just trying to put the pressure on and speed these negotiations up?
Well, I think that is a big part of the strategy, and you know, it's one of those where you're kind of pushing the hand of Scott Boras, and you know, I think that that's where challenging him usually does not work out. Teams have found that out in the past, that his willingness to find another team to pay similar dollars or a little bit more, that's one of his specialties. So you have to, it's a tricky still negotiating situation to play that you have that they have tried here. I think the main thing was they're trying to let Chris Davis know, listen, this offer's out there, but there may not be another team willing to go to that level. So I think it's fascinating to watch as this unfold. If Davis were to call today and say, all right, I'll take your deal for 154, I don't think the Orioles would pull it. I think they'd actually offer it to him. But there is a finite time period on all these deals, and I think finally the Orioles are starting to show that they may have to go in a different direction just to get the Davis camp and get their attention.
On the other side of this, Boras has been so successful with many of his clients to get teams to, bid against themselves, basically, when you wonder really what the market was, and he suddenly gets teams to just go up and up and up on these contracts. It seems like the Orioles have kind of drawn a line in the sand and said, we don't think there is another team out there, at this point at least, that's willing to go this far for Chris Davis, so we're kind of calling your bluff at this point.
And that's part of the intelligence that you try to find if you're in the front office and ownership. You're trying to find what other teams are out there that are interested in paying this kind of money. Does the marketplace value Chris Davis to that degree? And right now they're betting that they're the highest bidder out there in the market, which I think is the case. But what it does is it challenges Boras to go out and find another suitor, which he's very, very good at. So, again, you don't want him going away too far. You want to certainly, and you don't want to negotiate against yourself. And I do think at some point in the next week or so, the 10 days, that this is going to come to a head one way or the other. I think the Orioles, from their standpoint, they might have a little bit more room to go up, but not a heck of a lot more.
I know that Davis is a fan favorite in Baltimore, and I know he's produced big time as far as power and everything, but is there an argument to be made that this team's better off not signing Chris Davis when you look at that rotation and the work that needs to be done on the pitching side of things?
Well, yeah, if it was an either-or proposition, I'd say they'd be better off going down the road of finding a couple of starters, let's say, or a starter and a bullpen guy. But it does seem like that they're able to afford both, at least right now, able to pay Davis and then go find themselves some sort of starter out there. There's been a lull right now in the starting rotation market on the free agency side of things. So, I think that they're hopeful that they can still pull off the Davis route and upgrade their starting rotation. But you're right, they do need help in that area. It's not just bounce back seasons from their own guys. They're losing a guy in Wei-Yin Chen that was very valuable for them last year.
All right, that's Jim Duquette on the Baltimore Orioles. Jim, thanks a lot.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.